Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Can We Talk? I'm your host, Raz Williams. It's another beautiful Friday in Southern California. And this show's coming to you guys live every Friday from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, to call into the show, please call us at 347-945-7310. That number again, excuse me, is 347-945-7310. Guys, look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. We have a really good show lined up for you guys today. We have a really interesting topic that we kind of picked out this week, and it's actually titled The Right Mr. Right. And since it's a topic that we put together to help women particularly, I decided to fall back this week and just for today and kind of let my co-host, Alicia Cheney, host the show. For you guys that are new. If you haven't heard Alicia speak, Alicia is not only very articulate, not only very smart, but she gives some of the most realist, practical advice ever out there. So you guys are in for a really good treat. So with that said, let me introduce my co-host, Alicia. What's up, Allie? How you doing?
Hey, Raz, how are you? I'm doing good. Hey. Glad to be here again tonight on a Friday with you and everyone else who's tuning in for Can We Talk?
Awesome. It's good to have you, Alicia. Always is good to have you. Alicia, a couple things I wanted to ask you. Did you go and see the movie?
Oh, man. You know what? You got me, Raz. You got me. You did. I really had good intentions this week of catching the movie, and you know what? Unfortunately, this has been one of those extremely busy weeks, and I have not seen it. I hope that by the time I see it, it's still at the theater and not at Redbox.
You know, guys, just so you know, we did have some technical issues first getting to the show, so we're glad that we were able to start the show on time, and we've kind of pushed through those issues. And so, Alicia, it's really good to have you. And it looks like we have my man, Ronnie Ambrose, on the line. Ronnie, you there, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited about tonight's show, and I'm ready to learn as well.
You know, Elise, I wanted to ask you, man, what do you think about last week's show?
You know, I thought it was informative. Go ahead, Alicia.
Oh, you can go. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying, Ronnie.
No, I thought it was informative, you know, and I hope it was a blessing to everyone that got a chance to listen to it. And, you know, it's just putting things in the proper perspective, bringing these things out, and I'm just thankful that we get, you know, singles opinion, married opinion, female opinion, male opinion. So if anyone had any questions, you know, I think that's an opportunity to really get some things answered.
Awesome. Absolutely. Alicia, what did you think?
I thought it was a great show. I did. I hope it was really enlightening to everyone who tuned in and even those who may have listened afterward, listened to the archives. I really hope they got something out of it. It's interesting, when I was having a conversation with someone earlier today, she happened to mention one of the points that we covered while we were talking last week, which was, you know, we were talking about having sex outside of marriage and being promiscuous, and she happened to mention some of the physical effects that come along with that about, you know, the, what was it, the hormone that's exchanged when you have physical
oxytocin.
Contact with another. Yeah. So she mentioned that today, and I was like, hey, I know about that. We just covered that last week. So it was good to, you know, to see that what we're doing is having an impact, and not only having an impact, but that people are learning and growing. And so I really hope it was a blessing and people got something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I actually look at the stats for last week's show, and it looks like, guys, that we had about probably, I think right now, maybe up to 500 people or more that actually listened to the archive show. So that was that's pretty amazing. So I just want to thank you guys once again for really supporting us and really just, you know, showing us a lot of love. And again, we're new to this, and so you know, please bear with us as we polish up the show, and we keep bringing you every week a much more show, you know, a higher quality show. So we're going to continue to strive to give you the best topics, the best advice, the best wisdom, and something that just a show that you guys can look forward to every Friday. So you know, guys, I wanted to give a shout out to a lady by the name of Sonia Shari. She's out of Maryland, and she listened to the show last week, and she actually sent us a message, and she said to us, can you speak to restoration of those who have had too many partners? ? Isn't restoration just as powerful as redemption? Thank you. So I want to address that to Ronnie. Ronnie, what would you say to Sonia? She's listening.
Well, first I'd like to say thank you. And I would like to say, if you're a believer in Christ, that you have been, once you receive Christ, you receive everything that comes along with Christ. And that does include the restoration, you become a new creation. And so you're actually regenerated. And so in the true sense of being born again, you know, you got to take into consideration that phrase actually means you're born again and everything is new. So the things that are in the past are no longer, and you don't have to associate yourself with those things. And if they were to come up, maybe in your mind or maybe past friends that don't understand that you've been, you know, transformed and reborn, all you could do is school them to the facts, and all we have are the promises in the Bible that say that, you know, the Savior was, he shed his blood and he took on that pain and he died so that we could live and be born again. So I would just consider myself not damaged goods, but reborn goods.
Absolutely. Alicia, yeah, definitely. Alicia, what would you say to Ms. Shari?
Well, once again, I would just also include thank you so much for tuning in, and I really hope that you did receive something from the topic that was, you know, life-changing. And also adding to what Ronnie has already mentioned, it's so important, you know, I think when you look at the opposite side for those women who may find themselves in a position where they have been promiscuous or now realize the impact of what they've done, it's so important to understand the truth about what the Word of God teaches us, that one, that as Ronnie was mentioning, that we definitely have redemption in Christ, and that he is a God of restoration. He is a God who takes those things, the broken pieces of our life, and that he will restore those things. And we just have to put our faith in him and trust that he will heal our broken heart. You know, it talks about in Psalms, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So I would just encourage you that if you find yourself in that place of brokenness, trust that God will heal that broken pain. I just love the Word of God because there's so much power in it. There's power to heal. Mm-hmm. There's power to mend. There's power to restore. And the Word of God talks about in Psalms that the law of the Lord is perfect, and it converts your soul. So if your soul is broken tonight, if it's wounded because of some past decisions that you've made, don't let the enemy keep holding those things over your head. Trust that God, through the power of his word, will begin to restore your soul and completely transform your life.
Yep.
Amen to that. You see, guys, you see what I'm talking about? You see why we have Alicia on the show? Do you see that? I mean, she gives some of the realest advice out there. Alicia, man, that I couldn't have put it better myself. And I just want to tell Ms. Shari that, you know, I kind of discerned from her message that she did feel kind of defeated and beat down. And I just want to let you know that get up. Get up, because you are not defeated. Yes, you've made mistakes, like all of us have made mistakes, but God is a God of second chances. He's a God of more than enough, and he can hit the reset button in your life, and I believe that's what he will do for you. So, but it's good for us to identify these things so we do not repeat the same mistakes. And Ms. Shari, just thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for being a follower of our show. And God bless you, and I wish you all the best in your endeavors, in your pursuit to find Mr. Right. And you're not damaged. You are not damaged. You're just somebody who's made, like many of us have made mistakes, and I believe that the best is yet to come in your life. So I just want to say God bless you, and thank you so much, and just listen to the show. And keep asking questions. Please do. We really appreciate that. So, guys, you know what? It's corny joke time.
Okay.
Yay.
Corny joke time. I started this tradition last week where, you know, we just, you know, try to make it a little fun and see who could tell the corniest jokes out there. And so I'm going to let I think Alicia is going to bless us today with some corny jokes.
Okay.
Ladies first. So Alicia, I want to hear what you got in stock. Then I want to come with my flow and see who's, you know, we're going to the audience kind of pick who has the best.
Well, I only have one joke prepared, and I can't even say, I don't know if it's corny, my sense of humor is a little silly, but nonetheless, we'll give it a shot. So here it goes. A teenager, you know, had recently just gotten his driver's license, and he was asking his dad, of course, hey, Dad, can I take, you know, out the family car? And his dad, you know, after thinking about it for a while, you know, said to his son, you know what, son, I'm going to make you a deal. Get good grades, study your Bible, and get your hair cut. Then I'm going to let you use the family car. And so, of course, you know, his son, he thought about it. He decided, hey, why not take the dad up on his offer? Hey, I get a chance to drive around town with my friends. So, well, about 6 weeks later, his dad came and said, you know, son, I've noticed that you've been doing really good in school. You've got your grades up. You've been studying your Bible, but I've noticed that you've missed out on one area. You haven't gotten your hair cut. So his son replied and said, well, you know what, Dad, I thought about it. You know, I was studying my Bible like you told me, and I noticed that Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, and you know what, even Jesus had long hair. And his father replied and said, you know what, son, you're absolutely right. They all did have long hair, but if you notice something, they all walked where they went. So, they didn't have a car, so that was it.
Okay, I get it. So, if you want the
car, and so he couldn't get the car, and he thought, because, anywho, that's my corny joke of the day.
So, Lonnie, let's ask the crowd, what do they think about Alicia's joke? Hang on a second.
Right on.
Okay.
Okay, I think that was a boo. Did that sound like a boo to you?
Yeah, that was like unanimous goodness.
Whatever. They like my
okay.
joke. All right,
like joke. Okay, so
listeners, you got to call in and let us know how much you loved it.
Right.
Exactly. Well, all right, well, are you ready for mine?
Let's do
yes,
it.
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right, check this out. What does a nosy pepper do?
A nosy pepper?
Yeah, a nosy pepper. What does it do?
I don't know. What does it do? You tell us.
It gets jalapeno business.
Wow. A nosy pepper.
Oh,
this all up. Check this out. Check this out. What do you call a fake noodle?
I don't know.
An imposter.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Now,
oh,
hey,
I think my
good.
Jokes were better than me.
Well, hey, check this out. I got one more. Huh?
You said you're doing good.
All right, check this out. What do you call an alligator in a vest?
Alligator in a vest.
An investigator.
Right. All right,
check this out. What happens if you eat yeast and shoe polish? What happens if you eat yeast and shoe polish every morning?
If you eat what?
What happens if you eat yeast and shoe polish?
And shoe polish. Yeast and
shoe polish. I don't know.
Polish.
What?
Every morning you'll rise and shine.
Right.
I got a few more, and I'm going to cut it right there. Okay. What's the difference between a guitar and a fish? What's the difference between a guitar and a fish?
What's the difference?
You got me.
You can't tune a fish.
Right.
Oh, God.
I'm going to get
one
more
of
these. I got two more next.
You're on a roll now.
I'm so funny. I'm feeling myself. I'm sorry. I got to say this.
Right.
Okay. All right. What do lawyers wear to court?
What do lawyers wear to court?
A lawsuit.
Yeah, you got it. You got me.
All right, see? That was cool. That
you
was,
got me.
I was trying to figure it out.
You've been
talking
to myself.
Yay, 2 points,
Felicia.
All
right, I got one more. Actually, I got two more, and that's it, and I'll be done.
Okay.
What do you call a fat psychic?
I don't know. What?
You guys ready for this?
Go ahead.
A fortune teller.
Right.
Oh, God. All right, we got one more to go, y'all.
One more to go, and I you won't go for no more pain and suffering. I promise. All right.
Okay.
What did the baby corn say to the mama corn?
Baby corn, mama corn.
I don't know.
Hey, mama, where's popcorn?
Right.
Okay,
I'm happy that was the last one.
All right, so
oh,
you know what, guys?
Goodness.
Let's ask the artists what they thought about my jokes.
Right. So what did you say? Oh, they loved
it? They loved it.
It seems like they did.
Yes, they did. All right. Until next time.
Right.
Well, guys, you know what? Hopefully you like my jokes. And Alicia, I'm going to pass you the floor. I'm gonna take a step back and take it away.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Raz, for setting a funny mood for us all. So as you already mentioned, tonight's topic is the right Mr. Right. You know, I think that's such a great topic, and I'm looking forward to all that's going to be shared tonight because I know there are so many women out there that are waiting for Mr. Right. I think a lot of women start off at an early age looking for, you know, their knight in shining armor, and they're looking for this dashing prince pretty much to come in galloping on this horse and to really whisk them away for this happily ever after lifestyle. And it's really interesting that from an early age we have this fairy tale idea of who Mr. Right is and what does he really look like. And if you look around in society, oftentimes what we see on TV and the movies, what we read in the newspaper, you know, really reinforces some of these wrong perceptions that we as women have about who Mr. Right is and what he does look like. So many times what we see in the media, we see, you know, Mr. Wright is tall, he's handsome, he drives, you know, that flashy car, he has to have the Mercedes, you know, like a 5-series Benz, has the big house, 6-figure salary, and of course, you know, he often has swagger. So when we think about all of these things, could women be really missing out? I think that's what we're going to talk about. Could they be missing out on a good man because he may be packaged differently than what you're expecting? So let's dive right in. We got two godly men here who are going to share their wisdom and insight on this topic. So let's start with you, Raz. What have been your personal experiences? Do you feel like you've been maybe passed over at times because women are looking for the wrong thing?
Oh, man, thousands of times. Where do I begin? I mean, I consider myself to be a handsome dude, a good man. You know, I'm not a perfect man, but I've, over the years, you know, through my teenage years and in my, you know, early adulthood, I mean, I was rejected because I wasn't 6 foot. I was too dark, or I didn't have a certain type of car, or whatever the case may be. It was really ridiculous reasons, really. And I felt it was all because of the fact that women were kind of zoned in on this certain type of look, this certain type of guy that they felt that they should have. And without really knowing me, and it's not only happened to me, it's happened to a lot of other friends that I know that were good dudes. These were literally good dudes, but because they didn't talk with, you know, certain types of slang, they weren't sagging, they didn't drive a Mercedes Benz, or they didn't have, you know, they didn't seem like they were thuggish. These guys were working hard in college, working hard at school, trying to get somewhere in life the honest way, they were in church, trying to worship God. But because, again, they were not packaged the way that, you know, that they thought they should be packaged, they were rejected and looked over. And, you know, looking back, it kind of hurt, you know what I'm saying, at the time. But as I grew up and I knew who I was in Christ, I became comfortable with who I was and knowing that I didn't make me, God made me, and who I am is okay. And to that effect, they weren't really rejecting me. They didn't know who I was. So you can't reject what you don't know. They were rejecting the perception of what they thought I was. But they didn't really know who I was. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, in a nutshell, that was pretty much those were pretty much my experiences. You know, some good, some bad. But, you know, just to answer that question, that was pretty much what it was.
Okay, you shared a whole lot in what you just said right there. And the thing that I think was real key that you hit on, one of the things is that, one, you weren't alone in this. I think there's something. If I were to look around me, I'm sure there are a lot of different men who share a similar type of story. You know they're a good man. They know they're hardworking, they're decent, but maybe because they don't dress right or aren't cool or what a woman may think is cool, they may get passed over. And so one thing I would ask you, Ronnie, is what do you think women are missing out on when they are looking for these wrong things?
Well, you could be missing out on someone who would do not just what you want them to do, but the things that they should do as a man, as a husband, as a provider. And, you know, just for the, like you mentioned earlier, just because the person isn't packaged in the way that you were either bred or taught to go after, you really might be missing somebody who really could fulfill all the true needs of your life. A woman truly needs a companion that has her back, truly needs somebody who's going to give 100% to the things that pertain to your growth and, you know, to love and to make the relationship last, and to, you know, someone that can actually pull you through hard times, who understands. And so, you know, you could be missing out on that. That's not to say that, you know, every single guy who fits the status quo that you've assembled is wrong, but if God is sending someone into your life to fulfill a need that only this person can fulfill, you know, you could be missing out on that. There are a lot of strong guys out there that, you know, they're not into popular culture, they're not. It's not that they can't afford the Benz, they're just not into it. that's not their thing. They would rather, you know, they're looking at longevity. And so you could be missing out on exactly what you truly wanted. So that's what I think.
Yeah, and that's true. That's so true. Sometimes if we judge a book by its cover, we could be missing out on a good read. And in the same way, if we judge a man simply by the way he looks, we could be missing out on a good man. And so, really, what would you say to some of these women? I'm sure you've heard them talk. But what would you say if it were your sister or your daughter? What would you say to them, Raz, if they were overly concerned about a man's physical appearance, a man's nice car, you know, concerned about did he make a certain amount of money? What would you advise them?
I would say knock it off. No, fool. I would say that.
Okay, go right to it. I mean,
I can understand that, you know, like anyone, you know, being realistically, keep it in perspective. People want what they want. I mean, there's a certain look that you're attracted to. I can understand that as a man. There's a certain look that I'm attracted to, but I have to understand that there's women that come in different types of shapes, sizes, and different combinations. So I need to be open to that. And the problem I see with a lot of women, Alicia, is that they don't project themselves further enough into the future to see how their choices and what they're picking right now is going to affect them in their future. The man that you pick at the age of 16 is going to be completely different to the man that you pick when you're 25 or even when you're 35. What's happened between that time is that you've matured. You have more wisdom, or you should have more wisdom. So a lot of the times women pick based upon temporary, on the way they feel right now, versus on the long-term characteristics that they should be looking for that will take them throughout their whole entire life. And this is why I see a lot of failing relationships that women experience, is because of what they pick at the moment.
Mm. Wow, that definitely hits home. It's interesting, even as you say that, Raz, it reminds me of my teenage years, and it's so interesting because when I really got serious about my walk with God, I mean, I had been saved for probably since I was about 11 or 12, somewhere around then, but I didn't get really serious about serving him until I was 22. And at the time had been dating a guy and, you know, what have you, dated in college. And it's so interesting because once God radically changed my life, changed my heart, changed the way I looked at life, changed the things I desired in life, it's so amazing where I am now. I'm so thankful that I never married any of the guys that I dated, whether in college, high school, because it's so amazing, literally, when you not only hit a certain age in life, when I hit 25, it's so interesting how my perspective changed. It completely shifted. I wasn't interested in the same things that I used to be interested in. I used to just say, thank you, God, that I never married any of those men that I dated, because they were men I would have never been happy with my entire life. I would have been making a decision at 22, 23, 24 that I would have only been happy with for that season of my life. But when God changed my heart, it's so interesting what I desire change. I used to think, oh, as long as I have a man who gets up and goes to church on Sunday and, you know, does those things, I was fine. But now when God is the focal point of my life, it's no longer good enough just to have a man who get up and go on Sunday. I want a man who's passionately on fire for the Lord. I want a man who I'm not having to say, come on, let's take the kids to church today. I want him to take the lead. And so it's interesting that you say that, because I think that so often women miss it when they look at different things about what makes them happy now, but don't think about the long-term impact. They have to look beyond where they are and see the bigger picture. Like, do I want this man being the head of my life, head of our house, you know, rearing our children? And those are the attributes that we really have to look at, you know. So one thing I would just ask you, Ronnie, listening to all of what's been said, you know, would you say that some women are shooting themselves in the foot because they want a man with a swagger? You know, they want a man with all of these things. So are they shooting themselves in the foot by wanting these different things, but not looking at and taking into consideration godly attributes?
Wow. Well, I'm going to say yeah, because what's going to truly determine the direction of your relationship, the direction of your communication, is this person's relationship with God? Understanding of the word, obedience to the word. I'm not saying he's got to be perfect, but he's making an effort every day to be more and more Christ-like. And so if you're not taking that into consideration, you're going to only settle for a superficial guy, you know. The thing is, there's going to be certain things that money won't be able to fix. Only discernment will be able to help you. There's going to be certain things that, you know, your status as far as socially won't be able to cure. Only there'll be certain things that only a relationship and the understanding that comes with the relationship with God will be able to get you through some things. Like I can tell you that I've got a younger brother who was a cancer patient, and you know, he was stricken with cancer, and you know, it was awful, and he was in the hospital. But the thing is, you know, our parents at the time were financially okay, but not one of those dollars would be able to cure him, only our faith in God. And so if you're going just by what's acceptable to popular culture and society, you're missing out on what the true person you're looking for is about. And so, like I said, I'm not saying, you know, even though the person can afford the material things in this world, you really, really want to be, you can't really stand on that as strong as you can stand on an understanding that is given in a relationship with the Father through the Son. So, yeah, you would be missing out on a lot. This person that you have with the financial, I know guys who've gone through school who are successful, but there's a void still because they don't have a relationship with the Father. And to fill the void, they pick up strange habits. And then the strange habits could affect the marriage, the relationship, communication. And so, you know, I would just encourage the ladies and the men out there to really take a strong understanding, or at least give some time to search out what is a relationship with God through the Son, because it really cures a lot of the things that can't be fixed with material possessions or achievements.
Very good point right there. So I was going to say, if you're listening and, you know, we're talking tonight, tonight's topic is the right Mr. Right, and if you have a question for our panel, please call in with your questions. You can reach us at 347-945-7310. And one of the special things that we have planned for tonight is we have a guest who's going to be sharing her story tonight. You know, we're going to also talk more in depth about what are some of the attributes that a godly man has so that you can be able to rightly discern and rightly notice what a godly man should look like based upon what the Word of God says. So tonight we're going to hear from a woman here. She really has a riveting story to share. Her name is Jacqueline Nieves, and she met this man. He looked good, and on all outward appearances, he was a great-looking guy, and she's going to share more about her story. So thank you, Jacqueline, for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Hello.
Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you've been able
to.
Oh,
okay. I didn't know if you guys could hear me or not.
Yeah, we can hear you.
So thank you so much
for joining us tonight. We appreciate you for tuning in. And as I was mentioning, you know, really listening to your story, it's definitely an amazing testimony. And you were sharing how you met this good-looking man. He treated your kids good. You know, he'd even initially when you met brought his paychecks home when he first started dating. But what
yes,
you noticed is all of that quickly unraveled. Could you first start off by describing what was your first thought when you saw this good-looking man?
You know what? To be really honest with you and straight to the point, initially when I first met him, he was just really attractive. I was really attracted to him. He was just a very good-looking man. And that's really how I felt for him. I mean, because he looked nice. He looked good. And I was like, wow, this guy is so good looking. He's such a good looking guy. I wasn't thinking about, you know, I was very young then. I wasn't thinking about, well, what am I looking for in a guy? Because to be quite honest with you, at that time, I had never really thought about that. But I seen this guy, and he was just very attractive, just like the way most guys do when they meet women. They meet these women, and, you know, and initially their first thought is, ooh, she looks good. So I was kind of on the same page, and it was real strong. So, you know, I met him, and he appeared to be, like, the nicest guy. And, you know, I went from meeting him to becoming his girlfriend to moving him into my house, to just never getting to know who this guy was. And he was just very deceiving, you know, because he turned out to actually be a monster. I just was, yeah, he just turned out to not be what I thought he was, but I was choosing him for the wrong reason.
So going back to when you first met him, you were sharing with me that you pretty much had a reputation for being known to date good-looking men.
Yes, I did. All my friends that I've known since I was a kid, they know my reputation. They know, oh, you know, she always gets the best-looking guys, you know, and stuff like that. So that was my reputation. And, of course, now that I'm older, and I look back and I'm like, wow. And of course, I didn't have God in my life, you know, like I'm a Christian today and stuff like that. So back then, that was very juvenile, you know, like really, you know, who does that? But I just used to choose guys based on how they look. And it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. That's the same thing, you know, like when women choose men based on how much money they make and what kind of cars they drive and, you know, how they can benefit from this guy. I mean, it's all bad. It's all the same thing. So I chose this guy. I brought him into my home, and he pretty much destroyed my life. He pretty much destroyed my life. And he brainwashed me. I found out that he spent 13 and a half years in prison. He was a bank robber. It's just so many things that unfold as I got to know this guy. I met him so quickly. Before I knew it, I was like, wow, I haven't even known this guy for a week, and I moved him into my house. And I know this sounds all like, wow, that's crazy, but, you know, you live and you learn, and I made some huge, huge mistakes. You know, I lost my children. I wasn't around my kids. He actually wanted me to get rid of my children. Wow, this is just a traumatic story. I don't even know how to say this, but he was just a monster. He asked me to get rid of my kids, and I did, and you know, I'm not shy to say this, and I know women would say, oh, you know, that woman is crazy. Who does that? You know, who doesn't protect their kids? Who gets rid of their kids for a man? But I did that. I did that. It was like a drug. It was a drug to me. Now that I look back, it was like I was on drugs. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I look back, and it has really taken a huge effect on me today, as far as, you know, when I think about what I did to my children. But it's just, ladies, I just have to say this. You know, don't choose guys based on how they look. It's not to say that men that look good are not good guys, because there's good guys that look good, and don't choose guys based on how their bodies look and how much money they make, and especially if they're ungodly, you know. But that's neither here nor there, because some people don't even know God, so. You know, they're probably like, well, what is she talking about? You know, they're so unaware of the times we live in today. So you just have to be real conscious of what you do, and really think long and hard about the decisions you make, because they directly affect where you're going in your future. I mean, because everything that looks good, and every guy that looks good and has got a six-pack and driving a nice car and you know, gotta, you know, they talk a good game. Don't fall for that stuff. Don't fall for that stuff. It's just a way a lot of people, whether it be men or women, the way they get you in their snare, you know, get you in, you know, if they're trying to get something from you, you know, they come with this game, and it's and most of it is so ungodly, you know, they're not spiritually grounded, you know, so, you know, you really have to be careful of who you have in your space, so.
And when you started out, Jacqueline, let's backtrack a little bit and go back to when you first met this gentleman. What was he like when you first started dating?
He was really nice. He was really a nice guy. I actually thought he was the nicest guy I ever met. He just appeared to be really nice, and he was doing a lot of things for my children, which is a plus when you have kids and you're a single mom and you got some guy who comes along and, you know, he's cooking for your kids, reading them stories before they go to bed, and, you know, just doing all those things that we want a man to do for us and for our, you know, for our families, just doing all those things. Like, wow, I was just, you know, of course, so brainwashed and so dumbfounded that I just didn't know. But he was just so nice, and he immediately got a job because he had just came home from prison. He wasn't working. He got a job, and he started working. He came home. He brought me his paycheck. I didn't ask him to bring me his paycheck, but that's just something he decided to do, and I was like, wow, this guy is so nice, and wow, you know, maybe this is it, you know, even just unknowingly, just not knowing what the heck I'm doing, you know, just going through the motions, everything felt good, you know, and he was there for me, and I'm there with my kids, and he just was really, really nice. He was really deceiving, you know, people can be really deceiving.
So. I see. And so with this man, obviously we just see, listening from your story, that somebody can look good on all outward appearances, but beneath the surface there can be somebody totally different lurking there.
Oh, my
and
God.
For your own situation, for your situation, that definitely came out. And as you mentioned earlier, you said he literally became a monster. Can you give us a little bit of the examples of some of the things that he did during the course of your relationship?
Well, he would do things like, he would just kind of go out of his way to make my kids feel really uncomfortable in the house. He would do really extreme things. Like, he would tear up their rooms. He would take the time to literally tear up their rooms upside down. Like, I mean, like tossing the beds upside down, taking pictures off the wall, just destroying their room. And then he would get these huge signs that he bought that were like fluorescent colors, and he would write notes on them. And he would say, "You better clean this room or else when I get home." And I would come home and I would be like, "What the heck?" You know, just like, what?
Wow.
You know, and he was just, to me, he was just an extreme person. He would do things like that. Like, it was times when he whooped my daughter really, really bad. It's a lot of things that I allowed to happen because I was afraid of him too. And I allowed a lot of things to go on that no mother should allow to go on, as far as just him taking over my house, you know, making my children feel uncomfortable, you know, just literally, because he didn't want my kids there. He told me that. And so I end up leaving him. I end up leaving him at that time. But he's done some pretty extreme things to make my kids feel uncomfortable. And eventually he just talked me into getting rid of my kids. And that's the truth. I'm not shy to say it. It's embarrassing. It's, you know, I don't regret going through any of the experiences I went through. But hopefully, you know, somebody else can, you know, hear this and just say, wow, you know, I know I'm probably going to get a lot of negative comments, but that's okay. But I did that.
But you know what, Jackie?
I left my children for a man, and I just, still to this day, it bothers me a whole lot. But I'm getting through it now because I've God in my life, and my children and I now, we're really close. And it's just a real traumatic experience when you go through something like that and when you do something so awful.
Well, we appreciate you taking time just to share that with us. And really, I think that there will be a lot of women who will be able to listen to what you've shared and really be able to learn from it. So we appreciate you being brave enough just to share your testimony. Not only will it bring healing in your life by opening up and speaking about it, but hopefully through you sharing, it will also empower some other woman to listen to what you said and then be encouraged to make a different decision and make a decision that's going to protect and safeguard their children. And so thank God that, you know, he has restored that relationship with your children. Looking back to when you and this man did start dating, I'm sure you never imagined all this was lurking beneath the surface, because I know you mentioned, you know, he was physically and verbally abusive, practiced witchcraft. I mean, there are a lot of different
right.
things that this individual did, and I remember you just even describing how, wow, he looks good, you know, and so many women can get caught up in that but have no idea a lot can be lurking beneath a good-looking face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was very much into witchcraft. I didn't know it, and then he finally told me long after we were together that he used to actually practice it when he was in prison. And so he had a lot of ill will for me. It was almost like he knew what he was doing when he chose me, you know. I mean, those type of people, they choose certain type of women, but he was really into that, and he was trying to, in a way, get me into it, and he made it out to be like it was godly or this is the way he served God and stuff like that, and I was just so lost. I can just say I was lost and just, you know, like, okay, well, let me see what you're talking about. Let me, you know, whereas if I would invite mm-hmm. him to go to church, he'd be like, I don't go to church, you know. But he was really
yeah.
into this meditating. He was into meditating, and I think he was meditating on negative things, you know, and because I know in the Bible it says meditate on God's word. But I think
yeah.
he was meditating on things he was trying to get for himself to benefit himself, you know, whether it be me
mm-hmm.
or me getting rid of my children or, you know, me losing a child or whatever it was. To me, he was just an evil guy because so many
yeah.
things unfolded, you know, as I was with him and now that I've left him, so many things have come to me like, wow, this guy was really evil. Like, he's like one, another thing I want to mention before I forget, one time, my kids, my boys came to live with me, and I went out and I went grocery shopping to buy. I probably spent like $400 on groceries. And I came home like the next day, and he had thrown all the groceries in the, like he had thrown all the groceries away for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just, the
wow.
groceries were gone. So I was like, what? Did you threw the groceries away? You know, like I'm so, of course, so stupid and retarded. And I'm just saying that at the time, just, you know, I was just so unaware and just so dumb and just not protecting my kids, just so caught up with this guy. He would do things. Those were some of the things he would do. He was just a very selfish person that was just full of himself. You know, he spent 13 and a half years in federal penitentiary. All he had was himself. You know, he had plenty of time to learn how to manipulate, and, you know, of course he said he studied this witchcraft stuff. I don't know anything about witchcraft, you know. I had these kinds of things around my children, and he just did some extreme things, and boy, if I just sat down and really gave it some thought, I can tell you some pretty horrible things that happened.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
You've
already shared a lot. I mean, you mentioned how this relationship lasted for 17 years. How did you finally break free from this relationship?
You know what? It got to a point where I just didn't care anymore because the relationship was so unhealthy. We would argue so much and fight so much. So my defense always was whenever we got into a fight, I would just leave. I would leave and go wherever, and I'd be gone sometimes for like a week. So, of course, he would get tired of me leaving because the only way I was ever able to leave was to sneak out of the house because he would lock me in the house. So, I know this sounds really crazy, but it's true. So, I would always somehow get out of the house and be gone because I just couldn't handle it. So, I would just leave the house. I would just leave, and then when I come back, of course, things got worse. Things escalated. Things just got worse and worse. And so he told me, he said, the next time you leave, I'm just going to sell everything and leave. And I honestly can say I think that was a way that I can say God took him out of my life because I was really I didn't care anymore. So he finally he sold everything that I owned. I had a store at the time. I had a house full of furniture. He sold everything and he left. And so that's how we parted that way. And I can actually say that I'm really moving forward in my life now. And I'm glad he left. I'm glad he left.
Well,
I was so miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what would you say? And that's good that you finally, you know, broke free from that relationship. And really that God, you know, set you free from that situation. And I'm sure there are so many women who are probably listening and who at some point have been focused on, you know, all the wrong attributes in a man, or at least emphasizing some of the things that really shouldn't be the first things that we should be thinking about. You know, oh, how much money does he make? Does he drive a nice car? Is he good looking? You know, can he, you know, work it in the bedroom? All of those things that some people are really concerned about, you know. What would you say to women, you know, who are thinking much on those things and not enough on substance and character?
You know what? This is what I say to single women, just to women. Just don't be so quick to fall for what a guy has to say, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially if a guy has bad motives, you know, he's going to say all the right things to get you where he wants you. I mean, he's going to say all these things he know you want to hear, and you're going to fall for this stuff. Don't go by how he looks. I mean, give it some time. Don't be so quick to rush into a relationship. And don't be so quick to jump in the bed with this guy, you know, because you don't know this guy. You know, you don't know this guy, and don't be so, and if you do jump in the bed with this, don't be so quick. It's just, oh, gosh, I have so much to say, you guys.
And
I'm
we
sorry,
appreciate you sharing this. And no, you're
yeah,
doing an excellent job, and we do.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say you're doing an excellent job, and we appreciate you sharing. What were you wanting to mention about don't be so quick?
Well, just don't be so easily influenced by what the guy has and you know, and how he looks and how much money he made. And especially this is what I hear so much from my girlfriends. Oh, girl, he can put it down in the bedroom. Got to have a man who can put it down in the bedroom. That is so wiggity-wiggity-whack. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. It's
but
like,
you know
all
what? A
is
lot
sex.
Of people
it's,
out there are probably thinking that.
Yeah, it has no substance. It doesn't mean anything. It's just this guy is just having sex with you. He don't love you. He's going to keep having sex with you as many times as you allow him to. And just don't choose people based on what they have, based on their status. You know, just have some morals and just put God first, because if you don't have him first, if you don't allow him to direct you and guide you in your life, and if you don't spend any time with him, if you don't read and study and be in the midst of him, you're going to keep making the wrong decisions. You're going to keep meeting these guys. You're sitting around, oh, I keep meeting these guys, and they keep treating me like this. It's because of who you are. You're still living that same life. You haven't made any major changes in your life, so you're going to continue to meet those guys. You're going to continue to be miserable next year. You're going to continue to so on. The list just goes on. You're going to continue to just be like that until you just say, you know what, you know, you have to really also learn to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you're going to continue. I know we're not perfect. You know, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all can be very vain. We all can be very shallow. You know, it's a process. It's a process. But just be so conscious of the decisions you make, and just be slow with your decision making. You know, just take your time. Don't be in a hurry to be with a guy just because your friend in Nebraska is married and got 6 kids. You know, and just because all your friends are doing it, I got to hurry up. My clock is ticking, you know, and all those crazy things we hear, it's all worldly stuff that means absolutely nothing.
And you're so right, and women do say that. I hear my friends say it, and they do have that sort of conversation. Oh, my goodness, my biological clock is ticking, or all of these different things, and you're not thinking about, wait a minute, am I making the best decision, not only right now, but something I'm going to be satisfied with 10 years from now. I tell you, Jacqueline, your story is just definitely a powerful story, and just listening to all that you've shared, it's amazing how through all of this, you know, this relationship lasted 17 years, you know, it finally ended, as you mentioned to me earlier, within the past year. Can you just kind of briefly just tell us where you are now and how God has, you know, is starting to rebuild your life?
Well, actually, earlier when I spoke to you, you asked me if I lived in California, and I just thought it was only right to say yes. But actually, I just moved to Arkansas, so I live in Arkansas now. I decided to move back home, actually where my mom lives, and my daughter and my grandkids, so that I can, you know, be around my daughter, be around my grandkids. My mom's getting old now, so I just thought it would be a good opportunity for me to just spend time with them, I've lost so much time with them over the years. So now I'm actually going to enroll in school and do some things that I've never done before, believe it or not. Go to school.
Good for you.
And I'm actually moving forward. I'm found a great church home here. I like it, and it's very helpful to me, and I know that I need it, so I'm going to stay in with that, because I know that that's the only thing that's going to to give me peace and direct me, and to be so that I can be a light to somebody else, because we're like living in these days of like Sodom and Gomorrah, like everything is okay. You know, it's like, oh no, that's okay. Don't say that to them. Oh, you can't offend people, you know. But I'm moving forward, and I'm really glad to have the opportunity to be on here talking. I have so many other things to say, because it's a lot more to say, but I know that we don't have time to do all that. But I just wish I can just tell some women, like, don't be so quick to invite guys in your home. That too, I want to say that. You know, especially when you have children. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story tonight, and we have two men here on our panel tonight who I'm sure have some feedback for you. And Raz or Ronnie, did either of you want to give any words of encouragement, anything that you'd like to offer to Jacqueline before she gets off the line tonight?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's start with you, Raz.
Jacqueline, I wanted to say welcome to the show, first and foremost. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
And, thank you for really sharing your story, and I understand it wasn't easy to share that story, bringing up all the old emotions that you probably were feeling back then. A couple of things that you touched upon, and when I was listening to what you were saying, was you mentioned the word physical attraction. There was definitely a high degree of physical attraction there. And another thing you mentioned was that you mentioned that you never knew who he truly was, and you placed – that was part of your – it was like, based on what you told me, that you had trained yourself through the years to really focus more on physical attractiveness, because you received a lot of accolades from your friends because of the men that you were attracting in your life. You had all the best guys. So
right. It
seems as though that was something that followed you even into your adulthood. Maybe may have inhibited you from really looking at the other facets of what Mr. Right should look like. But I do want to say that thank God that you are out of that situation, You know, God's a God of second chances, and, you know, it could have gone a lot more horribly wrong, like it has done for many other women. But thank God that you're out of that situation, and from listening to you now, you would never tell, I wouldn't know that you were going through that, or you had gone through that. So it's definitely you know, a wonderful thing to hear you overcome that sort of trauma. Would you say, Jackie, that you have wasted years because of being with the wrong person? That, I mean, do you look back and I'm sure you look back and regret. But were there men that were trying to talk to you in that time when you were going back and forth with this guy?
Yeah, you know what? I think that I missed out on a lot of really good men over the years, just wasting my time with this guy that just had ill will for me. And, you know, he certainly did not bring up the best in me, you know, and that's what you want. You want from a person, but out on a whole lot. And now here I am, you know, in my 40s, and I'm a single lady, and it's not as easy. I'm not saying that you can't find Mr. Right in your 40s, but it's just a little bit different, you know. I just wasted a lot of my years just focused on the wrong thing. It's just was pure ignorance, just pure ignorance. That's what I would just say.
Well, I just want to encourage you, Jackie. I thank you as well for calling in. I just want to encourage you just listening. I just think about some of the scriptures that God just gives us so many powerful promises. And one of the things is that he tells us that he will work all things together for our good when we love him and when we've been called according to his purpose. And so I just encourage you just to be reminded that even where you may look and just have regret over some of the decisions that you've made, trust that God will take all those broken pieces from your life and masterfully put it together and work something beautiful out for your future, because he already tells us that he has a good plan for our life, a plan that's going to prosper us and not going to harm us. And now that you've come into a relationship with Jesus, it's so important to realize that you are a new creation, and that's your past. And it's also important just to recognize that the Word of God gives us other promises, that he'll cause us to remember no more the shame of our youth. And so sometimes when we're young and maybe not have even had the sort of influences in our life that we needed, we will go down the wrong path, and the enemy is just waiting to come into our life and to wreak havoc. But thankfully that we have, you know, hope in Christ, who, once we do come in a relationship with him, that he will begin to use even the mistakes and the failures from our past to begin to work them out for his good and for his glory, and that he'll even take those failures or the things that we did as mistakes, and he will use them in some way that will ultimately bring him glory. And so I just encourage you that now that you are where you are and you look at some of the things that you wished you would have done differently, just trust that God will begin to continue to restore the relationships that you have with your children, and that he'll continue to use your testimony to be a blessing to so many other women, so that hopefully they don't go down that same path. So thank you much for calling in tonight. Thank you. It looks like we have thank you so much. And if you have a question or a comment for our panel tonight, as I mentioned, we are talking on The Right, Mr. Right. We just heard from Jacqueline Nieves, who shared her powerful testimony about being drawn to a man who looked good on the outward appearance but ultimately turned out to be what she described as a monster. And so we appreciate her for calling in. We appreciate her story. And we're going to move on with our panel tonight. We have a lot that we're talking about. And so now that we've kind of heard from really some of the things that women may fall for, I really want to address and talk to the men that we have on our panel, both Ronnie and Raz, and kind of get a perspective from you. What are some of the things that women should be looking for? So let's start with you, Ronnie. What are attributes that a woman should look for in a man if she wants a good, godly man?
Well, I would first and foremost start with a relationship with God
at least ask the guy, what does he think about God? What does he think about the Bible? What is his understanding on what the Bible was saying? Because this person that you're letting into your life is also going to be the spiritual head of your relationship. And so if his spirituality is in the wrong place, and so then that's the only spirit that's going to be with you guys. So I would start off with sizing up with Mr. Wright. I would start with, what's your relationship with God? Just that simple question right there could open up a good dialogue. And, you know, if you're a believer, you could grab your Bible, and then you guys together could walk with God. And if he wasn't the Mr. Right or Mr. Complete, then walking with God would surely confirm and speed up that process that he's in the right direction. And, of course, you know, a person, I'm not going to give you, like, no wives' tales, like, you know, how he treat his mom and all this and that. What I would do is just be straight up with him and let him know what you're expecting of him at the beginning. And so if you can have a conversation with a person on that level at the beginning of your relationship, that's going to put a lot of things into perspective for you, because the right person does start with a relationship with God, some sort of plans for the future, you know, someone that could express where they stand, you know, as far as things that are going on in society and how he treats you and also what he expects from you. That might change the whole picture, what he expects from you. He might expect things from you that you said you would never do. And so, you know, you really want to just, I would start off looking for the right Mr. Right by, A, what is your relationship with God? You know, because you want someone that can also teach you as well. And, you know, I would also want you to ask them, what do you expect from me? Because, you know, there should be no shoulder shrugging in this conversation that you have. There should be straight, direct answers. You know, some things are negotiable, but what you want to do is understand, where is this person taking me spiritually? Even if the person does have money, whether they have money or not, most importantly, where are you taking me spiritually? So that's what I would say. You know, I'm sure there's more. It's more dynamic than that, but I would start there at least.
Okay, that's a good point. You know, one of the things my mom says, it's interesting because I have a younger sister, two younger sisters actually, and one of my younger sisters has at times, you know, met different guys or what have you, and she's like, well, he doesn't dress this way or he doesn't dress that way. And one of the comments that my mom has said that really has stood out is that you can buy a man clothes, but you can't buy him character. And what she was really just saying to my sister was that you have to realize that you see a guy, maybe he doesn't have, you know, the best outfit, isn't dressed the cool hip style, don't be so overly concerned about that and overlook where is his character. And so when you think about that, the importance of what a man is, it really is that character. So, Raz, what I would ask you is, what does godly character in a man look like?
First of all, I would say that godly character for a man is comprised of so many different components. I will touch upon a few right now. I would say in your pursuit to find Mr. Right, ladies, I would definitely recommend that you look for a self-controlled man. When I say a self-controlled man, a man who has his lusts under control. If I'm a man and I meet you and I'm trying to sleep with you, I guarantee you, I do not love you. I love the sex. I love the orgasm. I love your body. I love the way it feels, but I do not love you. Anything that will take you out of right fellowship with the Lord and with your own morals and principles to violate them, that's not love. So I think for women, it's so important for you to understand the difference between a lover and a luster. Lust only lasts for so long. Lust takes, but love gives. So if a man is in your life and he's giving you self-control because he wants to demonstrate that you can trust him, you're worth the wait. That's love. But a man who just lusts you and wants to take to satisfy his itch in his pocket, that's not love. I would also say that a man who's a provider, in the sense that a man who can demonstrate, because the Bible does say that a man who doesn't take care of his household is worse than an infidel. So there's a lot of guys out there that I know that are have you know, nice personalities, have swagger. And by the way, I think it's in Proverbs 6 where it says that there's one thing that the Lord hates is a proud look. And to me, swagger is nothing but a proud look. So, I mean, you know, it's okay to be cool, but when you're proud of it, I mean, God resists the proud. So, you know, you really need to make sure that that man's a provider. He's not a selfish man. He's not a, you know, there's one thing that I've noticed, Alicia, and maybe Juan, you can attest to this. I've met a lot of women that they love men who are projects. In other words, men who they have to take care of, men who they know are beneath them because they're not fully mature enough to be with a functional man, because those kind of men scare them. So they pick a man that they're attracted to, but they pick a man where they feel they can take care of him, so they feel needed. And those men never end up or turn out to be good providers. It's the woman who has to provide. It's the woman who has to be the head of the house. So those are situations that I've seen that I think are goes against the grain of what God's order. And so I would definitely say look for a man who's demonstrated to be a provider, a man who has his finances in order. Those things are important. Just somebody who has a good work ethic, period. I think that will demonstrate whether or not he is a good provider. And then thirdly, I would say someone who's definitely a very good communicator. The art of communication is so key and critical in today's relationships because myself, having been I've been engaged twice and they didn't work out, partly because of the fact that I was not skilled in the art of communication. And I had to go through those situations to learn as a man how to be a good communicator, because a lot of marriages demise because of, you know, poor communication. There's a breakdown in communication and people are not being understood. So that's a very key area where I believe that Mr. Wright should be demonstrating to you, or you should look for that quality in Mr. Wright. And then I would say an unselfish man as well would be another characteristic that I would say in Mr. Wright. Alicia, am I going off topic? Am I okay?
No, you're doing a good job. If you wanted to mention something about being selfish, that's fine.
Okay. An unselfish man. The Bible says that, I think it's Proverbs 3:27-28, do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in your power or your hand to do so. So, like, you know, there's a lot of selfish men out there that are just into what they're into, and they'll do just what it takes just to keep you. So look out for that, because when you get into a marriage or when you start having kids with a man who's selfish, it's going to be a big problem, believe me. And I think that's my comment.
Well, no, you gave us a lot in that comment, Raz. You really did, and a lot of good things. So I hope all the women out there were listening and taking notes. As we mentioned, this is Can We Talk, and tonight's topic is the right Mr. Right. So if you have a question or a comment for our panel, we encourage you, call in. You can reach us at area code 347-945-7310. We'd love to hear your comment. So going back to what you mentioned, Raz, you brought up a number of good points. I just want to kind of hit on something you mentioned about a man not being selfish and a man being a hard worker. I think about the examples that we see from the Word of God, and one of the things that, if you remember, with Jacob, when he had to work for Rebekah, he worked 7 years for Rebekah, and it shows how when a man loves you, he's willing to pay the price to have you. And I think that's so important for women to understand that a man, you know, be a hard worker. I think about an example that my brother gave a while ago. He had posted something on Facebook, and he was talking about our dad. And when he was mentioning that, he said one of the things that our dad had told him is that, you know, when you work on a job, you may meet somebody who's smarter than you. You may meet somebody who's, you know, better looking than you, but you should never meet a person who works harder than you do. And it was just him just telling him that be a hard worker, work hard. And so I believe that is definitely one of the key attributes that any man who wants to be with you should definitely have. So as I mentioned, if you have a question or a comment for our panel, please call in. We definitely want to hear from you. You can reach us at 347-945-7310. So let's move to you, Ronnie. What would you say to, you know, a woman who may find herself in this situation and she realizes after listening to tonight's topic that the man she's with is not the man who she should be with? He doesn't line up with the Bible. He doesn't line up with godly attributes. What would you say to that woman? How should she get out of that situation?
Well, I would tell her to be very careful. I don't mean like because the other person's feelings are at stake, and you don't know if they're already controlling, if they're already, you know, possessive. You know, they'll also feel that they got the right to hurt you as well. So what I would do is get out of it gently. I'd get out of it in public, because if you were trying to, you know, there could be a case where if you try to just get out of there and say you just make up your mind tonight and it's just you and another person, you know, you might be asking for a fight, which could lead into, you know, who knows what. So I would do it in public, not a girlfriend, a family member. I'd bring a family member in to help me move my stuff, you know, some uncles, some cousins, but definitely not no girlfriends or anything like that. But what I would want you to keep in mind that it's not necessarily the person's motive to be the wrong person. You got to keep in mind that, you know, there is a true enemy out here deceiving the whole entire world, you know, and so if the person is a victim of that, me, I've been a victim of that personally myself, you know, so I can understand not being able to understand where I'm wrong because I'm right in the eyes of society or I'm right in the eyes of my little subculture. And so you got to consider that the person is also a victim of the deception that is, you know, dominant in this world. But as far as you are not meant to suffer. And so if you see you're in an abusive relationship that's not going anywhere, it's not necessarily that person's fault, but it is your cue to get out of that relationship, to get out of it. I'm not saying the person can't change, but a person doesn't change just with their mouth. They change with their actions. And they don't change because of self-help books. They change because they've submitted themselves to the Bible and God and Christ and all the good things that come from the Father. So if you're in that sort of relationship, I would just get out of it, because what you don't realize is that you're hurting your parents, your brothers, your sisters. And if things were to escalate to where someone gets hurt, now the guy goes to jail, you go to the hospital, and all your families are involved. And if there's children involved, what you're doing is setting that kid up to be in a home that was torn apart because the spiritual leader in the house was off balance. And so the way I would get out of it is I'd be wise and, you know, consult my family and friends if you got a church, you know, involve, you know, someone who could be a mediator, because if you try to do it one-on-one, you might be asking for trouble. But the way I would do it is publicly involve family and make it definite. Once you get out of it, don't give the wrong signals. Don't give the person mixed signals. You know, just let them know that this relationship is not working out. It hasn't been working out, and until we do certain things, it won't work out. So let's just separate, and if you choose to do the right thing, then I could be with you. But if not, I can't afford to waste my time or waste my life. So that's what I would suggest. Get some people involved, not girlfriends, but some older people involved to get you out if you guys are living together, or to ask him to leave if you guys are living together. And I would explain to him exactly why. I would not leave any room for mystery, because he's going to be left with, well, why? What did I do? Why me? Why is this happening? He's going to want an explanation. So you got to be full with your explanation. Don't be short and don't just give him phrases, but explain to him that this is a destructive relationship and why. And so that's what I would, that would be my advice.
Well, that's a lot of good advice for women who are listening to definitely take in tonight. good tips on how to get out of a bad situation. If you do find that you have, you know, you're one of those women who got caught up, who noticed a man based upon the outward appearances, nice car, look good, all of those things, and you now find yourself in this bad situation, what Ronnie just mentioned are some really good ways that you can begin to go in the right direction. And so one of the other things that I wanted to touch on tonight, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, Raz, when I was asking about the character of, you know, a godly man, you talked about a little bit on the man's not going to want sex from you. And I know so often, you know, women can at times be focused, as we've shared, on the wrong thing. What, when you're thinking about a man, and sometimes it's usually the woman who's taking the lead to say, okay, no, we're not going to have sex before marriage. But if you do meet that man and he is trying to get with you and in an intimate way and you're not married, what do you say to that sort of that woman who finds herself and a man saying these things to her? What would you say to her, Raz?
Good question, Alicia. I'll definitely tell her to run the opposite direction because, again, here's the thing that I see, though, that we heard what our guest speaker had said. It was Jackie. Her name is Jacqueline. She mentioned that a lot of her friends were looking for men or looking for men who can put it down in the bedroom. And the thing is that sex is not love. And what I will tell those women is that when you're on your deathbed, or if you have a major terminal illness such as cancer, your breasts get cut off. You weigh only 80 pounds. You can't use the bathroom by yourself. Is this man, this luster who weighs eight? This man who can put it down? Can you count on him to take care of you? Can you count on him to feed you? Can you count on him to bathe you? Can you count on him to love you as God loves you? I think not. So I will tell women that you want a man who can demonstrate self-control, a man who loves you your entire being, in other words, your soul, your spirit, and your body. A man who's only loving you one-dimensionally, i.e. your body, he doesn't love you. He loves what he sees. He loves the way he feels. He doesn't love you. That is not love. Love gives and lust takes. So I would definitely think it behooves you guys to understand as women what true love is and what true love is not. You have to understand, as Ronnie was saying, God has a plan for your life, and that plan is to give you a man that loves you the way he loves you, a man that will add to your life, not subtract. But Satan has a plan for your life, and that plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. A man that he may look good on the outside, but inside he's internally programmed, and he may not even realize it himself, but he's been programmed to bring you down. And when you bring, well, I mean, there's a lot of women out there who have caught HIV that one time, that one encounter, they caught HIV from a dude, and now their whole destiny is shot. So, I mean, it's not worth it, guys. I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, close your legs. Don't let these no good dudes come, you know, step to you and spit that game because he looks good. So what? I mean, there's only so much sex you can have. There's only so much looking at a person that you can look at before that stuff wears away. You become immune to that. There has to be something more than just the physicality or the sex or the orgasm or the high that you get because of, you know, because he can put it down. Stop it. That's what I got to say.
Bold words from you, Raz. I think it's good. Sometimes, you know what, we really have to hear it just that firm. If we sugarcoat something, one of the things that I think that happens, we start to embrace it and think it's okay. So it's good when you can hear that firm, clear word. And the good thing is it's coming from two godly men. And what it shows us is because I think one of the reasons why women end up going for or looking after men who have, you know, all the outward appearances because they don't really have good examples of other godly men in their life. I think if they would ever see a good father or a good man in their church, they would begin to say, wait a minute, why am I selling myself short with this guy over here and not at all aspiring or thinking or having a higher standard standard to know that God has so much more for me. So really what I hear from these two men on the panel is that there are good men out there. And I think that women have to know that and have to wait and trust God. That, you know what, God, even if this man, you know, can put a rock on my finger today and can do this for me, take care of me, I trust that you are my Father. You will provide for me. I trust that you will send a good man for me in that season and in the right time. So I would just also ask both of you as we close tonight, one, starting with you, Raz, what are, looking at some of your friends, you know, I know you touched on it earlier when you started and you said that you are good men and there are some other good men out there. Give our women out there some hope, you know. Would you say, looking at the men that you see out there, that there are good men out there and that they should be encouraged to know that there are quality men who have so much more than just, you know, a nice car, but have substance to go along with that?
You know, thank you, Elise, for that question. I just wanted to add that I can't remember the actual scripture in the Bible, but there was a man by the name of Elijah who was depressed and he was down on his emotions because he felt that he was the only godly man in the neighborhood, and God said, not so. There, I have many more like you. And I know some of you women, and I'm going to transport that analogy to how women feel right now. I know some of you are upset. I know some of you are depressed because you've gone from no good dude to no good dudes to more no good dudes that just have just been targeting you for sex. I know you're depressed. I know sometimes it hurts. I know that you're asking, so where are the good men at? I'm trying to hold out for the right man, but I just can't hold on. Don't give in to loneliness. Don't give in to lust, because that will cloud your judgment. Trust in God. Trust that God has your back. He knows where you're at. He knows where to find you. He knows how to bring that man to you. Let that man find you. And I think that let the sluts have the sex. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what God wants you to do. And I guarantee you that God will make sure that you are blessed with that right man, the man of God, the elite man, the man that God has for you, that the man that you not only want, but you will also need, because he's going to love you and view you the way God sees you. And that's my comment.
All right. And, you know, it's when I think about these things that that oftentimes women want, the other thing I think about that the word tells us is how, you know, earthly treasures are fleeting. You know, what you have today can be gone tomorrow. And so it's really important for us to realize that don't fix your attention up on these things that are temporary. You can't fix your attention up on things that are going to quickly pass away. Look at those attributes that are deeper than that, you know, those things that we talked about tonight. And so what I would just in closing say to the women and other people who are listening, one, I would encourage, you know, the women out there to, number one, examine your heart. Ask yourself, why is it that I want a man that has a nice ride, that has a nice car, that has, you know, makes a certain amount of money? You know, examine what's in your heart, because oftentimes when we begin to look at why we want those things, there's a wrong motive in there. You know, maybe you might find out that your sense of worth is tied to having a man who has this certain reputation, because it makes you now feel better. So it's definitely important for us as women to begin to examine why it is we want the things that we want. It's interesting, but several years ago I had a dream, and in that dream I realized that this was my husband in this dream. And when he was walking by, I was sitting outside, and he was walking by and he had his Bible open. And in the dream, as he walked by, I noticed he was light-skinned and his hair was kind of frazzly. And immediately I'm like, oh, but he's light-skinned, Lord. And it was interesting because my own personal desire has been a man who's tall, chocolate, and handsome, you know, and that's been my own personal desire. And God really began to deal with that desire within me. And what he showed me is that my husband's not going to show up looking the way I expect him to look. And in addition to that, you know, when he does arrive, he's going to be walking in his word. So I just encourage women as we close tonight, you know, desire a man who has a heart after God like what David had. Desire a man who's walking in his word and pursuing the heart of God, because when he is pursuing God that way, he's going to love you in the proper way. So we thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alicia Chaney. We also had Raz Williams and also Ronnie on the line tonight. Until next time, this is Can We Talk, and we hope that you'll join us next week at the same time at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much.
All right.
I wake up early in the morning. Thank the Lord for my breath as I'm yawning. Too many people hit ignore when calling, but I refuse to be a hypocrite. Y'all don't know the half of it. Got so many people out here claiming they know we are here. Yeah, they in the spirit, but they probably ain't sober. Screaming, give us meat, but they roll up and stroll us. Got me in my word, trying to live like you told us. Now what's it gonna be? Yeah, left with the right man. Flipping in between, now you know it ain't right, man. I refuse to lose, I'ma go down fighting, and I'ma speak truth, I don't care if you like, no, what's it gonna be? Left with the right man, living in between, now you know it ain't right, man. I refuse to lose, I'ma go down fighting, and I'ma speak truth, I don't care if you like it, now wait a minute. Don't get spit out, bruh. God won't drink water that's been left on the counter. You can fool us, but you can't fool the Father. So why even bother to keep lying to yourself? Ask for the right man, are you ambidextrous? Ask Ananias, God ain't nothing to be messed with. You should choose life, this is not a suggestion. My soul cries out that you change your direction. Now what's it gonna be? Yeah, left with the right man. Living in between, now you know it ain't right, man. I refuse to lose, I'ma go down fighting, and I'ma speak truth, I don't care if you ain't none, and I was